Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we've got another Packers preseason victory to talk about, 21-17 this time over the Washington Redskins at FedEx Field on Saturday night. And I guess the best place to start is where the Packers offense started, which was the opening drive. Aaron Rodgers gets the start at quarterback, leads them to a touchdown, 15 plays, 75 yards. I guess you'd call it a vintage Aaron Rodgers drive in that you have the 12 men on the field, you have a couple scrambles, you have him spreading the ball around to a handful of different receivers, a little bit of everything, and then the number one offense took the rest of the night off.
Yeah, if you had three offensive plays for how long it was going to take Aaron Rodgers this season to draw somebody off sides or get the 12 men on the field penalty, consider yourself the victor. It was a great play by him, and to be able to keep that drive moving at an important time too. They had a couple, I think it was the drop there early on. They're facing sort of a third down, could be a three and out situation.
Yep.
Rodgers gets a guy offside, or be able to draw, I think it was one of the defensive tackles from Washington, get him for the 12 men on the field. The referees didn't even catch it.
Yeah, they didn't see it.
Preseason for everybody, but the Packers challenged the play, get it reversed, and then after that, they just got rolling. It was just quintessential, just cerebral Aaron Rodgers at his best, working it to Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, also Randall Cobb getting involved, Jamal Williams getting the start at running back with Ty Montgomery being out, and then the touchdown pass at the end of Martellus Bennett. 15 plays, 75 yards, nearly 8 minutes off the clock.
Yeah.
One and done for the Packers offense, got exactly the work they were looking for.
Yeah, that is it. It's exactly the work that they were looking for, and I really like the touchdown play to Martellus Bennett. How can you not like that? The Packers go into the personnel grouping with the two tight ends. They're down there near the goal line, so the defense responds with sort of a base defense look, and so the Packers will go, okay, we're going to take our tight ends and spread them out, split them out, and then Martellus Bennett is one-on-one with a linebacker. Aaron Rodgers will take that matchup in the red zone, you know, every day of the week and twice on Sunday, as I like to say, and it was about as good as you could have drawn it up.
Yeah, and I mean, literally, the Mike Spofford, this is the play of the week kind of situation. I mean, the let's be real moment is the fact that when you have Martellus Bennett, you have Lance Kendricks, this is the reason why the Packers wanted to bring in more two tight end sets this year, also including Richard Rodgers in that, because it does make the defense make a choice. Are you going to defend that with nickel personnel? Are you going to defend that with base personnel? Well, if you go with your base personnel, that leaves the potential there for a guy like Zach Brown, a linebacker for Washington, to get matched up with the 6'6" Bennett. Rodgers even said afterwards, and you were part of that news conference, it wasn't his best throw. It was actually, a couple things he would have liked to have had back on it. But at 6'6", it shows you the catch radius that Martellus Bennett offers you, different ways in which he can beat a guy one-on-one in coverage. And then also, as Bennett said afterwards, you know, sometimes people talk so much about his height and his size. Sometimes his athleticism gets a little overlooked, he feels, and in that particular play, he showed everything. It was the total package in terms of a touchdown-producing play that also gives you a little bit of a hint of what could be the cards for the Packers this upcoming season.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing, too, as you mentioned, depending on the defensive personnel in that situation in the red zone, if they decide, okay, we don't want our linebackers matched up on the tight ends, you know, they might go a little bit lighter, more of a nickel or even a dime defensive package, and then maybe it's Jamal Williams.
Right.
They take a crack up the middle with the run. Williams had a couple of five-yard runs on that drive, some nice production there. He didn't, you know, get a ton of work, obviously. He left after the opening series with the starters as well. But, you know, Jordy Nelson, we saw a couple of those, I guess you just call them the classic comeback routes where it's always interesting to watch those from the press box, because I don't think watching on TV people really appreciate how quickly that ball comes out
Yes.
of Rodgers' hand, and Nelson doesn't even have his head turned around. Yeah. Rodgers knows the spot he's going to be. He believes he's going to be open based on how he reads the defense, and as soon as Nelson gets his head turned around, the ball is there and he has to catch it. They make it look so easy, but when you actually look at all that goes into it, you realize how difficult it really can be and how much practice it takes to have that kind of timing down.
Yeah, Mike, you mentioned it early on. I mean, the Washington press box is not good for a lot of things, but the one thing
no,
it is good
not.
For with us being pinched in the end zone is the fact that it does, when the Packers were moving down the opposite side of the field, it actually gave us a really unique perspective on what Rodgers is seeing and where Nelson is on that particular play.
Right.
Thing to keep in mind, too, it's just the perfect, and you wrote about it this offseason for the Packers yearbook, the chemistry that they have together for Rodgers to have the confidence that Nelson is going to be there. Because if you look at it, if that ball is not thrown with the amount of accuracy and power that Rodgers throws it with, that easily can be a pick six.
Yeah,
if that thing
no
floats.
Question about it.
But not only that, I even with the first time he threw it, the one that was kind of the comeback towards the sideline, I was even thinking, I'm like, oh man, is that ball going to get in there? And it does. Yeah. So, I mean, again, we've talked about it all offseason, and now we're starting to see it come to fruition. Nelson, Cobb, Adams, Bennett, all of these weapons in this offense and the way that the Packers can use them. The more one-on-one matchups you have, the more chances that those playmakers are going to have a chance to beat their guy and keep the ball moving.
Yeah, and when nobody's open downfield, Aaron Rodgers will just take off and scramble for 15 yards and pick up a first down. He absolutely breaks a defense's back with plays like that on third down when they feel like they've done everything right, and yet he still moves the chains with his legs. But we've got plenty more from preseason game number two to talk about. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. Wes, the Packers against Washington also got touchdown drives from two of their backup quarterbacks, Brett Hundley and Taysom Hill. I want to talk about the Hundley drive there in the first half, and I think the thing that impressed me the most about it was that Hundley's first possession of the game did not go well. The Packers were backed up near the goal line. There was a penalty. I think there was a sack in there. Just an ugly series. Punt the ball away, you know, go play defense. But then he bounced back that second possession, came back out and took the field, and it was like that ugly first possession had never happened. He just shook it off, got everybody under control. Boom, they started moving the ball down the field, hits the big play down the sideline to Jeff Janis, and eventually gets the ball in the end zone. I thought it was a great bounce-back type of moment when the way that first series went, sometimes those can snowball the wrong way, and Brett Hundley prevented that.
Yeah, and Aaron Jones, a Packers rookie running back, actually said when they got back into the huddle on the next series, Hundley basically told everybody there, hey, let's wipe the slate clean. We're going to go down. We're going to score. And we're going to get the lead. That's one thing that really strikes me about Brett Hundley is the fact that he's a third-year player. He's a former fifth-round draft pick, but the way he carries himself, so much composure, and just the epitome of calm. And I'm sure some of that from Aaron Rodgers rubs off. You know, also, you know, Alex Van Pelt, who played for a number of years in the NFL, he has a lot of resources to work off of. But it seems like even since day one, he's always had that disposition of being a starting quarterback in this league. And the more I watch him play, I know it's preseason. You always got to have that caveat. But this guy looks like he's going to win games in the NFL.
I agree.
I mean, in 9 of 10, 107 yards, one touchdown. And keep in mind, I mean, there were some issues there too. You know, when you look at what he was having to deal with and the pressure that he was seeing, and to be able to work out of that and find guys downfield. And also just the command he has of the huddle. He said to Aaron Jones before the 5-yard touchdown pass, if they're in man, if there's going to be a one-on-one matchup for you, I'm looking to you.
Yeah.
He ends up going to the rookie running back, 5-yard touchdown, 38-yard pass to Jeff Janis. All over. I mean, as good as Aaron Rodgers was that first series, Brett Hundley didn't disappoint when he entered the game.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 5-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Jones. That read is as good as it gets because that was easy. I mean, you know, he knows, he senses that Jones with the one-on-one, man-to-man is going to be open. And once he gets it to him, it was like Jones could have just walked right into the end zone, which tells you the quarterback had had complete control, complete read of the defense and where they're going to be. The other thing I liked about Hundley's performance, he did have an interception the previous week against Philadelphia. Right. We did not see any throws that were even risky or chancy, that there was even a chance for Washington to get an interception. So I think from that standpoint, he cleaned things up a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's a great observation, Mike. And then you look even, you know, he still was willing to work it downfield too, because sometimes guys not wanting to, you know, have the 50-50 balls, not wanting to take chances, they can kind of become the check down Charlie type quarterback. Yep. He still found opportunities deep in the secondary. He has trust in those receivers. receivers, even though he wasn't working this week with Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams and Randall Cobb in a starting offensive line. This reminded me a lot more of that family night two-minute drill where he was working with the reserves. He was working with the young guys, the hungry guys on this roster, trying to make an impact, and he was able to move the ball downfield. Again, as I kind of stressed a little bit, when you look at the play to Janis specifically, just the ability to not only lead the receiver, because Janis had his guy beat, but also being able to just rally the offense at that point in time. Those are the signs of a guy that has mastered this, you know, not position, but I mean in terms of what he's being asked to do in this offense.
Yeah.
And now looking forward, he only attempted 7 passes last year in the preseason because of that ankle. Now getting a chance to get back out there and show that what he did his rookie season was just the first start of this whole step for him.
Yeah, and you mentioned hungry guys on the roster. We get to the fourth quarter. The Packers are trailing 17-14 after the strong start. The Hundley touchdown put the Packers up 14-3. Then the Redskins, with some of their reserves, they got a touchdown near the end of the first half and then another touchdown in the second half to take the lead. So you go to the fourth quarter, the Packers are down 17-14, and number four quarterback Taysom Hill, the undrafted rookie from BYU, is in there. He led a touchdown drive at the end of the Philadelphia game when it was just kind of an add-on, you know, situation. He leads a touchdown drive in this one to win it. And I know it's only the preseason, but you could see by the reaction, the celebration, he scrambles up the middle against that blitz and turns it into a 23-yard touchdown run there. That was a big moment, and it meant something to all those guys on the field, especially the quarterback.
Yeah, don't tell Taysom Hill it's the preseason. I mean, this is his Super Bowl. I know it's a cliche, but this guy is playing for a roster spot. He's playing for a job in the NFL. Taysom Hill's a different type of rookie. You know, he's going to be 27 here soon. He played 5 years at BYU, had a mission for 2 years before that, so he's taken a long journey to get here. But the athleticism that he has was fully on display. I mean, this is a guy that ran sub 4.5, I think, at his pro day at BYU. And he said there's been coaches in the past who have tried to get him to curtail the scrambling a little bit, slide a little bit more. But he even talked about it before the game, the last locker room, even before we went out to Washington. When he sees that end zone, there's just something about it that it pushes him a little bit more. And I think when you look at highlight plays for the preseason, that one's right up there. Makes two guys miss, stiff arms the last one. Evan Siegel, Packers photographer, got a phenomenal picture of him sort of spinning into the end zone, a smile on his face, and ends up leading the Packers in what ended up being the go-ahead game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, I love the stiff arm there on the last potential tackler. That was pretty impressive. And you have to just be impressed with what this guy has done. You know, yes, he's out there against, you know, the fourth string defense, you know, whatnot from the other team in both of these preseason games, but he's out there with those same guys on the Packers roster. It's and he's leading the charge and he's producing. He's produced. I mean, I don't think I had ever seen a number four quarterback in a training camp in a preseason come in and lead a touchdown drive in his first preseason game like he did last week. And now he's done it 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
You can't help but stand up and applaud a little bit.
That number three battle right now with him and Joe Callahan, I mean, you go back a few years, those guys could have been competing, you know, for a spot on this roster. And, I mean, they're right in it. And it's going to be exciting to watch to see how this goes the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, plenty more to watch as the preseason unfolds. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, if I were to say that this is Sesame Street, the middle segments of the show would be brought to you by the letter H, because we've already talked about Hundley and Hill, and now it's time to talk about Hawkins. Josh Hawkins, the second-year cornerback, ends up getting the start out in Washington in the nickel defense with Devon House and Demaryius Randall both sidelined. And boy, you talk about the old adage, taking advantage of your opportunity. He showed up on Saturday night, and he looks like he belongs.
7 tackles, 2 of those being coverage on special teams, 3 pass deflections. Josh Hawkins, I think, is a guy that really has come on over the last 2 weeks, getting more opportunities because of the injuries at cornerback and a chance to really show what he offers. Mike McCarthy mentioned this a little bit in his news conference, you know, the day after the game. There's a reason why they kept him on the 53-man roster all the way through last season. You got to remember, before the injuries started creeping up right beginning in Jacksonville, the Packers were really deep at cornerback. There was a lot of bodies at that position, but yet they still kept Hawkins, the undrafted rookie out of East Carolina. You're starting to see why. He has incredible arm length for a guy that's 5'10", 189 pounds. I think it's somewhere in the range of 32 inches. And then the plays against Vernon Davis, being able to get a big pass deflection against him in one-on-one coverage.
Yep.
Later in the game on the goal line against Ryan Grant. There's something about him when you look at his speed and the length that really gives you, I think, an idea of the type of tools he's working with and how he could potentially factor in not only to this defense but the special teams unit going forward.
Yeah, and you wrote a story on our website, Packers.com, about Hawkins and how he's tried to model his game in a lot of ways after Sam Shields, which makes a lot of sense in multiple ways in that he came in undrafted.
Right.
He's got a similar body type in terms of the long arms, you know, that length, and he also has the speed. Now, I don't know if he could beat Sam Shields in a 40-yard dash because Sam was pretty darn fast, especially when he came in as a rookie. But Hawkins is he's really starting to make some strides here. And I actually mentioned on Monday morning in our insider inbox, you go back to that play at the end of the first half against Detroit in week three last year when he made a terrible mistake and allowed a big long touchdown pass. There might be nobody on this Packers roster who has improved more from 2016 to 2017 than Josh Hawkins, because he's come a long way from where he was last September.
Yeah, and that's a credit to him. It's a credit to Joe Witt, the Packers cornerbacks coach, to get him in the position that he's in right now. Touching one more thing on Shields, that's kind of funny. He only had 4 months to work with him because then obviously Sam had the concussion against Jacksonville and then spent most of the season away from the team. But in those 4 months, one, he started taking some outfitting decisions and you know, advice from him. He was wearing the same sleeve, same gloves, same everything as Shields. I mean, he was doing everything he could to look like Sam Shields, to the point that some teammates even started calling him Little Sam Shields. But furthermore, I mean, he really took note of his press man coverage. He took note of what the little things that he does, turning his hips, when he gets his head around, really studied him to a T. And again, that's a great guy to go off of because he traveled a very similar path to as Hawkins, being a fast, raw prospect entering the NFL at cornerback. And yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, there were some definite, you know, when you look back to last season, some teaching moments that he kind of worked through and the limited opportunities that he got. But even just seeing him now and how he's been able to, you know, to find those ways to get his hand on the ball, he still wants his first interception. But
yeah,
there's a lot of potential there for the Packers to work with. And now, you know, with Demaryius Randall being out, with Devon House being out, obviously those guys are going to factor heavily into this defense this season. But these are the opportunities for a guy like Josh Hawkins to step up and really show what he can do to make sure that he's back on this 53-man roster during the, you know, the first cutdown or the last cutdown.
Yeah. And it was interesting to hear also from Mike McCarthy on Sunday in his press conference that last season, really the second half of the season,
right,
Hawkins was really starting to show up in practice on special teams, and the special teams coaches were kind of pushing to have him active, to have him on the 46 for game day, even though there were still some reservations about putting him in on defense. But the special teams coaches really liked the way he was coming on. So just knowing that that sort of improvement was being made and being recognized last year as a rookie, I think we're starting to see the same type of improvement on defense, not just special teams.
Yeah, and that's where it starts. I mean, you have to be able to contribute on special teams. And for Hawkins, being able to get that little bit of a taste of it last year and now being able to show what he's doing defensively, really, you know, that's that second year jump that Mike McCarthy always likes to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. But before we go to a break, Wes, let's take care of some sponsor business. Picture this: you and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go, two big fundamentals that Mike McCarthy harped on all last week that he needed to see improvement in the Packers from the first preseason game to the second: the tackling on both sides, sharper tackling as well as breaking tackles on offense, and then ball security. And I have to say, the Packers' defense, to me, from a tackling standpoint, it was like night and day compared to the game against the Eagles.
Yeah, we sort of talked about this last week, you know, in this this show, and then also in our final thoughts video, in terms of where the improvement is going to be from preseason game one to preseason game two. It's not to say that everything's been 100% corrected. Mike McCarthy said there's still things they have to work on the last 2 weeks, but I think you have to be pleased with the progression they made there. Especially the first half. I mean,
yeah.
Washington kept in their starters for pretty much those first two quarters. The Packers were rotating more and more of their reserves in, and still only 10 rushing yards, I think, they had in the first half.
Right.
On 11 carries.
Yeah, and didn't find the end zone until the last final seconds
right.
of the first half, really.
Yeah, 6 quarters the Packers basically went without giving up a touchdown. So from that perspective, a lot of improvement there. As you mentioned early on, the running backs for the Packers didn't get a ton of opportunities, but yet I think they still did a lot with them. I liked what I saw from Jamal Williams, and being able to see him in a pass pro capacity as well shows you, I think, the Packers' confidence in him to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
On both sides of the ball, I think there definitely was a step forward for them.
Yeah, on the ball security side of things, the offense, not any issues there. The only miscue being on special teams, the punt return, Trevor Davis muffs a punt return, and I'm sure if he had to have it over again, he just calls for a fair catch. I think it was a situation of a young guy. He had made a big play the previous week, and he was just trying to do a little bit too much because the gunner had beaten his man and was really right in Davis's face as the ball got there. You got to call a fair catch there and secure the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And I still think it said a lot about Davis and the Packers coaching staff. They left him out there. They let him get some more opportunities the rest of the game.
Yep.
And again, you're seeing kind of what he can offer when he does secure the football and get upfield. So definitely a learning moment for him. Knows he needs to get that corrected. But also, this is the time of the year where you want to try to make adjustments and changes and see exactly where it takes you. Long way to go yet for him.
Yeah, for sure. But we've got to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team and the rest of training camp on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.